With you again, beloved. A joy it was for us this morning to praise our blessed Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us, the Bible says, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's exactly what he did. He hung on a Roman gibbet, lifted up there, suspended between earth and sky for you and for me. Today he lives, and he lives in the power of an endless life. But also, as we've been singing, Christ liveth in me. The apostle says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Then Jesus came. Mark chapter 5, then Jesus came. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. For he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there near unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the demons besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Then Jesus came. What a situation this man was in. We call this the lunatic at Gadara. Not only was he out of his mind, but he was totally out of control. No man could tame him. He was in bad shape. They couldn't keep clothes on him. They couldn't keep chains on him. And they couldn't keep him from hurting himself, cutting himself with stones. Jesus came. And when Jesus comes to a life, things happen, things change. When Jesus comes to a situation, everything changes. The demons fled. The demons were horrified at his presence. And believe me, the demons understood who Jesus was. They cried out in fear, "Do you come to torment us before our time?" The point is, beloved, when Jesus comes to a situation, things change. When he comes into the life that was hopeless, the life that was out of control, when he comes in, things change. As we used to sing long ago, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Jesus came. He came into the city, the country of the Gerasenes. And there was a hopeless, helpless, mindless man there. The authorities couldn't help him. The religious folks couldn't help him. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. What a hopeless situation. And mankind today is educated. We think we can help ourselves. We think we don't need help, but we do. We do. And the only one that can solve the problems that we are facing, the craziness that's all around us, it's only Jesus. You have to invite him in. Jesus came. What happens when Jesus comes? He changes everything. Listen to what the apostle says, what Jesus gives. This man was mindless, by the way, totally out of his mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The man, when he met Jesus, he was sitting. Before, they couldn't control him. He was all over the place. He was clothed. They couldn't keep clothes on him. He would rip them off. They couldn't keep chains on him. He would burst them asunder. And he was in his right mind. God has given us a sound Jesus came. That's the difference. He takes control of the mind. Because if we are out of our mind, we are totally out of control. It doesn't matter how healthy the rest of our body is. If we are out of our mind, we are out of control. In Isaiah chapter 26, takes care of the mind, beloved, he says. Verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Mind. He takes care of the mind. He was sitting, he was clothed, and in his right mind. Is it any wonder then the Apostle Paul reminds us not to be anxious? not to worry. Those of us who have met Jesus Christ, those of us who have invited him into our hearts, the apostle says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, making our requests known unto God, and the peace of God, that's what the man got, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus came. The man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Paul exhorts the saints in Romans 12 and 1, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus came, and that made a difference in the life of the lunatic at Gadara. It would make the difference in your life and mine if we allow him. We could be sitting and clothed in our right mind, and we can sing with the spirit and with the understanding, our mind at perfect peace with God. Oh, what a word is this. A sinner reconciled through blood. This indeed is peace. Then Jesus came. Example number two, Jesus coming and making a difference. Luke chapter 7. If this man was mindless, out of his mind, Jesus comes to another situation and takes care of the problem. This widow was childless. The widow of Nain, we call this, Luke 7, verse 11. It came to pass the next day that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and many people. Here it is. Now when he came near, Jesus came. When he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and many people of the city were with her. And when the Lord saw her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came. There it is, verse 12. Jesus came. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bore him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak and delivered him to his mother. Then Jesus came. She was childless. She was a widow, yes. But this was her only son. Her only son. And she was sad. She was about to bury her only son, and Jesus had compassion on her. Jesus came right at the hour of her need, at her darkest hour, at the very saddest time in her life, getting ready to bury her only son. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Weep not, weep not. Oh, what a word is this, weep not. How could you say to someone so sad, someone who has lost everything, alone in the world, you said, weep not, because he was about to change everything. He was about to change her tears into laughter. He was about to give her beauty for ashes, the oil of gladness for sorrow. That's who he is. Jesus came. That's his mission. Mission on earth is to change things. To change things for the better. Excuse me. Listen to the prophecy concerning him. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Was she brokenhearted? Yes, she was. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. He said to her, weep not. To appoint unto those that mourn, this dear widow, she was mourning. To appoint to those that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Weep not, weep not. What's your situation? What is your problem? Jesus is here, and he wants to change things for you. He wants to take away the tears, take away the sadness. He wants to give you his peace. It's a sad thing to lose a loved one. It's a very sad thing to lose a child. It's even more sad to lose your only child. Because the children come from the Lord, according to Psalm 127, verse 3 says that though children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And again in Isaiah, the compassion of a mother. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Jesus saw all this woman weeping, mourning for her son. And he said to her, weep not. That's why I'm here. I am here to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came. He came to the lunatic who was mindless, and he restored his mind, and he was sitting and clothed in his right mind. He came to restore life to the household of this widow, and he touched the bear, and he restored the son to his mother, alive and well. That's what Jesus does. He can do that in your life. Even more. He can give you life. He said, I am come that they might have life. This is even greater than physical life. This is abundant life. This is the life of God. This is eternal life. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. He comes to give life. In the house of Jairus, remember Jairus' daughter, sick, and they were mourning, and they had all this stuff. And Jesus said, listen, this. The child is not dead, he's asleep. And they laughed him to scorn, and he put them out.
And he took her by the hand and he raised her up. It is time for you to awake. Tabitha Kumar. Get up. Alive and well. She is not dead, but sleepeth. When Jesus comes, death must be vanquished, because he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Then Jesus came. He came to a man that was mindless. He came to a widow that was childless. He came to Jericho to a man that was sightless, Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10. Then Jesus came. The man was begging. He wanted a meal. He wanted some money so that he can buy a meal and feed himself. And they came to Jericho. A lot of people were stranded at Jericho in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Many people were stranded at Jericho. Jesus seemed to have a habit of meeting people's needs on the road, on the Jericho road. This is one of those. He came to Jericho. And he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. All he was hoping for is his next meal. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." How did Bartimaeus know who Jesus was? The Pharisees who boasted that they knew the law, they knew the scriptures, the scribes who were the teachers of the law, they never referred to him as the son of David because that would acknowledge him as the Messiah. But here is a blind man who had 20/20 spiritual vision. He addressed Jesus as a son of David. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Oh, the crowd didn't want him to bother the Lord. The disciples thought he was a nuisance. They wanted to get rid of him. But Jesus stood still, verse 49, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth for thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" What do you really want? Oh, he didn't want the bread. He didn't want a few denarii here. That's not what he wanted. What will you really want? He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now, if this was anyone else, you'd ask them, "Oh, give me a few denarii. I'll be happy. I want to buy an next meal." But he recognized that this was Jesus. Jesus came. And it makes a difference. This is not just for a temporary fix, you see. This was not just for a meal. You know what the saying is? You give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. But you teach him how to fish and you feed him for life. Jesus was going to meet his need on the Jericho road. He was sightless. But Jesus restored his sight. Jesus came. He came to Jericho. He called for the blind man. The man arose and he came
to Jesus. Jesus came. Do you have an experience? Do you have a situation? Do you have a problem? You tried everything else. You want to know something? That Jesus came into the lives of so many, and he is here. He wants to come into your life, not only to save you, but he wants to meet your every need. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to strengthen your mind. He wants to give you those things that you lack. They've given you beauty for ashes and the oil of gladness for mourning. He wants to give you spiritual sight. Jesus came. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 4 says, the Spirit of the Lord, this is the interpretation of what we read in Isaiah 61. For me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, this has left out certain parts, because certain parts for the second coming. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came. He came to the life of blind Bartimaeus. Maybe you know the Lord, and maybe you are discouraged. Certain things have made you discouraged in life, and you don't know what to do. You're really, really having problems, making up your mind about certain things, and you wonder, is this the Lord's will? But you're not the first person to be discouraged and wonder and begin to have doubts. You're not the first. You read John chapter 7. No, it's not John chapter 7, but you remember the story as I relate the narrative. John the Baptist, it is Luke 7. He was discouraged. And when John's disciple went to Jesus and they said to him, are you he that should come? John is in prison. I believe John believed in Jesus. John was the forerunner of Jesus, and he's in prison, and John's having doubts. He's having problems, and he said to his disciples, go and ask Jesus, are you the one that should come, and should we look for another? That was what he asked them, to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord Jesus understood where John was coming from. He says, just show John the evidence. The poor had the gospel preached unto them. Tell them. The dead are raised. Is Jairus' daughter. Jairus' daughter, yes. And also the widow of Nain's son. The dead are raised. The blind have received their sight. Bartimaeus, for instance, go and tell John what you have seen. That's the evidence. The Lord doesn't have to say, yes, I am he. No, just tell him what you have seen. And the evidence is all around us, beloved, what the Lord can do. There's a lot of evidence what he can do. You got to let him in. Allow him to work in your life. Tell John what you have seen. The blind see. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has sent me to heal the broken, to open the eyes of the blind. And that's what's been happening, John. And it's there. It's there for all to see. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19,